Krishna consciousness is to develop this mood of service. Sometimes we have seen physical austerities are good, but only to the degree that they're actually helping us become more humble and more devotional. If they make us proud, then they have the opposite effect. Like we have seen, some devotees, they perform the Nirjal Ekadasi. And other devotees do not perform Nirjal Ekadasi. Some just drink water, some eat prasad, but with no grains or beans. So if the person who's performing Nirjal Ekadasi, not eating anything, sees other devotees eating some tapioca, some sabji, and thinks, oh, I am more advanced than them. I am more honored than them. Look at these devotees, they're enjoying, but I am not enjoying. Then what does that mean? That means his tongue may be fasting, but his false ego is feasting. His false ego is overeating like anything. So to such a person, I would say, here, eat these vegetables and just feel yourself like everyone else and be humble. We should not feel better than you. If we're fasting and we're thinking, they are so advanced. They are so advanced and so exalted, they can eat Ekadasi prasad. But I am so sinful and so fallen and so lowly and so beneath the dust of their feet that I should fast so I could come to their level. If that's your mood when you're fasting, then fasting is very good. But if you're thinking, oh, I am a Goswami, they are Godasas, then better you eat. Because ultimately it's not fasting that is going to help us become Krishna conscious. It's humility and devotion, and we accept whatever's favorable to become more humble and more of a servant, not a master. So this is the principle Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show us through this beautiful example. Kapila Dev next says a devotee should be grave. And Srila Prabhupada defines in the purport what gravity is. It means to speak about Krishna and to not speak nonsense topics. One of the greatest enemies of the Hare Krishna movement is gossip and rumors. It is called prajalpa. Rupa Goswami says it is one of the greatest means to fall down. When the tongue likes to talk just for the sake of talking. And Prabhupada explains, the fly is very anxious to drink the nectar of liquid essence of stool. He loves to suck the stool. He becomes so intoxicated by that. And the honeybee, he likes to drink the nectar from the lotus flower. You will never see honeybees in stool pits. And you will never see flies drinking nectar from flowers. So we should become like the honeybee. We should always be anxious to drink the nectar of the good qualities of others. We should always be anxious to drink the nectar of hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna and his devotees. And we should not be like the fly, anxious to drink the sewage of the faults of others. But in Kali Yuga, people love to hear the faults of others. Whether they're true or not is not important. It's simply unhealthy. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he would never, ever tolerate listening to the fault of any devotee, even if they were true. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would say, just the fact that this person is a Vaishnava chanting Hare Krishna, that's enough. I don't want to hear anything else if it is of any negativity. Because we become with what we associate with. If you listen to the faults of others, those faults actually take shelter in you. And if you listen to the good qualities of others, it increases and improves your good qualities. So devotees should not speak against others. Sometimes, like a doctor, as a means of service, we have to discriminate and point out certain faults. But it's not for our pleasure, it's as a service. But unless we are actually a practitioner who knows how to do it, we shouldn't even do that. It's very important. Raghunath Das Goswami said, idle gossip is like the prostitute that steals away my spiritual chastity from my mind. So the tendency is, they call it the grapevine. The real grapevine should be Harikatha. Not, did you hear that this person did like that with that person, and this person did like that like because of this? And this person fell down, but nobody knows it. Don't tell anyone. I know, it's a secret. And this way people talk. And soon, worldwide information. Now we have telephones and telegraphs and television and computer technologies, and in this way it's a whole international network of gossip and rumors. But Prabhupada says, what does it mean to be grave? We perform the austerity of only wanting to hear and chant those things that will improve the quality of our spiritual lives. Krishna Katha. When Srila Prabhupada was at New Vrindavan in 1972, he was looking at the beauty of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And he said, your deity worship is so beautiful. He said, Radha Vrindavan Chandra have appeared just like the most beautiful American boy and girl, just to attract all the Americans to their loving service. And he was so pleased with the worship. And then he said, but there are two principles on the path of bhakti, Pancharatra Kividi and Bhagavad-dharma. Bhagavad-dharma means hearing and chanting directly the glories of Vishnu. He said, not indirectly, directly. He said, unless you are sufficiently hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the day will come when you are thinking that my Guru Maharaj has left me with the burden of taking care of these deities. Because the taste for performing devotional service comes from hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna and his devotees. When Lord Chaitanya came to Kulia, one of the islands of Navadvip, he was approached by one Brahmin. This Brahmin was weeping and crying and falling down in obeisances, and he said, my Lord, he said, for so many years I have offended you and I have criticized your devotees. What should I do? And Lord Chaitanya said that criticizing a devotee is like drinking deadly poison. And glorifying a devotee is like drinking nectar. He said, with the same mouth that you have criticized the devotees, you should now chant the glories of those devotees, and that will neutralize the poison and give you Krishna consciousness. So throughout our scriptures, it describes how we should experience the higher taste of speaking those things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness and very, very carefully avoiding any other subject matter. And then he says, that we should execute our eternal activities offering the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our body, our mind, our words, and our life should always be very carefully utilized to serve the order of the spiritual master. When we serve the order of the spiritual master and work under his instructions, the association of devotees, naturally, our whole existence is being offered to Krishna. And we should be very, very careful. Whatever we do, whatever we say, should be what will please our Guru and Krishna. That is the only real criteria that we decide what's to be done. Will it be pleasing to Guru and Krishna? And if we do not know, we ask. It's quite simple. And in this way, we could properly execute devotional service, become nicely purified, and progress on the journey back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes. If you always endeavor to properly associate with devotees in the mood of a humble servant, you will always be protected. In the story of Bharat Maharaj, if he was in the association of devotees, they would have told him, "Maharaj, don't be so attached to this deer. Maya. We'll all give her prasad and everything else, but don't be so attached." But because he was alone, he had no association, Maya took him away. Srila Prabhupada explained, whoever you are without the association of devotees, you cannot survive in spiritual life. So that is a principle of humility, to understand I am not so advanced. I need the association of devotees. The most advanced Paramhamsa was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Through the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the glories of the most intimate teachings and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya were revealed to him. But yet Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was praying that I am crippled and lame, and it is only the stick of the association and the mercy of the Vaishnavas that is holding me up to walk forward on the path of devotion. So Kaviraj Goswami says the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is the only thing holding me up on the path of devotion. What is our position? We should never think that we are so advanced that we can do it alone. Therefore, we should learn how to properly associate with devotees, and we should learn how to serve devotees. And if we always remain in that consciousness and in that association, we will be protected from our false ego by Krishna himself. Yes. We should associate with people who are earnestly and honestly trying to develop their faith by the proper means. We should become intimately best friends with such devotees. And for those who have very advanced faith, we should worship them and honor them and want to hear from them and serve them. Even if a person has very weak faith, they are earnestly trying through the proper direction to develop their faith, that person is wonderful association. We can grow together. Well, there are other purports too. But we should understand that there's a way to love Mayavadis also. And that is by crushing them philosophically. Because the Mayavad philosophy prevents any opportunity for the awakening of love of God. Because essentially the Mayavadi philosophy is saying that God is an illusion, that Krishna is an illusion, that Krishna's form is an illusion, his name is an illusion, his pastimes is an illusion, that ultimately you cannot have a relationship with Krishna. Everything goes beyond relationship, beyond love, beyond devotion, beyond God himself, and everything just merges into a nothingness. In that philosophy, it is completely contrary to the principle of the awakening of bhakti, which is the highest truth. So therefore, it is not that we hate Mayavadis, but we hate Mayavad philosophy. And how to destroy that disease? We are not actually showing real love to others. Love is not just sentimental. If your child wants to jump off the roof, you don't say, oh, I love you, jump off the roof, it's all right. No, you say, no, you cannot do this. That is love. So Srila Prabhupada chastised Mayavadis and chastised Buddhists who were practicing a voidistic theory of this truth. Because without doing that, we would not be able to differentiate. And without that differentiation, not understand what is real devotion, what is the personality of Godhead, and how to achieve it. So that is an expression of love. To point out the disease and to try to remove it. Yes? We are not very advanced in preaching. That comes to realization. But we should understand that we do not hate the diseased, we hate the disease. Factually, even the greatest atheist, even the greatest Mayavadi, the fact is, under all those deep dark coverings of illusion, there is a spirit soul who is part and parcel of Krishna, who is equally a part of Krishna as you are. So therefore, how can we hate a part of Krishna? We may hate the coverings that are obscuring his glory, but if we hate a part of Krishna, that means we don't really love Krishna. That person is an eternal servant of Krishna. That person is meant to have a place in the spiritual world with Krishna. If somehow or other that person gives up his Mayavad, we may be in Goloka Vrindavan together, making garlands for Radha and Krishna. So we should understand that the soul is the object of Krishna's love and should also be the object of our love. But the disease covering the soul may need a very, very severe surgical operation to remove. And should be avoided, to be contaminated by that. Does that answer your question? We should try to be expert preachers. To the degree we surrender to the Lord, we become empowered to reach people's hearts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able, just by his humility, to melt the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati, enough so that Prakashananda Saraswati was willing to listen to him. When he heard Lord Chaitanya's teachings, he became a Vaishnava, although he was the king of Mayavadis at the time. So Lord Chaitanya was so expert, and so compassionate, so empowered. One time, Srila Prabhupada on 22nd Avenue, he was preaching, and he was using one volume of Bhagavad Gita, because he hadn't yet printed his. And the commentary said, when Krishna says, always think of me, he doesn't mean him. He means the impersonal, unmanifest existence within him. So Prabhupada was very meticulously exposing the illusion of that philosophy. But actually, practically all the devotees in the room, although they were hearing Prabhupada every day, they didn't really know what a Mayavadi was. They thought that there must be some sect in India that he didn't like. And he's talking about them, but it doesn't apply to us. Little did they know he was talking about them. So actually, in all the weeks Prabhupada was preaching, nobody really understood what he was saying. So one day, one of the chief disciples of that time, everyone was new, of course, it was 1966, he started saying, actually, Swamiji, actually we are God. Beyond Krishna, there is the impersonal absolute in whom everyone merges. Everything else is an illusion. Prabhupada was listening. And this person kept talking. And Prabhupada was becoming more and more angry. His eyes were turning red, and he was actually trembling as he was hearing Krishna being insulted by this Mayavad conception. And then the person stopped, and Prabhupada was very grave. He said, "Are you finished?" And then the person went on to speak more. He was actually explaining to Prabhupada about how actually we all become God in the ultimate issue. And all the devotees, everyone in the room agreed with this person, because they thought that, you know, Prabhupada's indirectly saying this. But now this devotee is telling us directly, and Prabhupada will reinforce it. And everyone was listening, and everyone, this is what they understood. But then when they saw how Prabhupada was getting more and more like a volcano about to erupt, they were becoming very afraid. Very afraid. And then Prabhupada said, "Are you finished?" And everyone by that time was like in fear. And then the person went on talking. devotees who were there told me that no one could even look at Srila Prabhupada. They couldn't even look at him. Everyone was looking at the floor and the ceiling and the walls and their hands and their feet. Couldn't look at him. It was too painful. And then the person stopped speaking. And Prabhupada said, "Are you finished?" And he said, "Yes." And then Prabhupada was sitting at a little table. He took his fist and pounded it on the table, and the whole table shook. He said, "Why are you killing Krishna?" And he screamed like a lion. And the devotees felt Lord Nrsimhadev has come to kill us all. Prabhupada could not even sit down. He stood up and he just started just roaring like a transcendental lion. And he completely annihilated the Mayavad philosophy. And everyone was totally silent. They were just like pinned against the walls. Prabhupada went on for about 15 minutes. And then he sat down very peacefully. And he smiled. And he said, "Now do you understand?" And everyone said, "Yes, Prabhupada, we understand." And every devotee in the room, they all had the same understanding. It was the first time in their life that they understood what the difference between personalism and impersonalism was. First time. Prabhupada had to go through that enactment of transcendental ferociousness to actually give them the impression to really know what is the... He's been talking about it for weeks. But they actually understood what is personalism, what is impersonalism at that time. So Prabhupada was expert. So we have to preach according to our realization and follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And if someone is able to appreciate that we are trying to help them, then that is their good fortune. If they are not able to appreciate, it means that they are just so deeply entrenched in this contamination. Give them prasad. Somehow or other, get them to hear the holy name. But we have to do our business. Our duty is not to please the misguided sentiments of conditioned souls. Our duty is to present the truth, whether it is palatable or unpalatable. But we should present it in as effective way as possible to change that person's heart. Does that answer your question? Philosophically, they may be Mayavadis, but the whole taste and sweetness of their culture is when they chant the names of God, when they serve people. They just don't understand. It is a fact that, especially since Srila Prabhupada's movement has become very prominent all over the world, even the big, big Mayavadis, when they begin their programs, they begin with kirtan. Because they know that that makes people happy. Their philosophy doesn't. And even in India, so many times, big, big Mayavadis, they invite Hare Krishna devotees, "Can you lead the kirtan for us?" Because they know it'll bring people and people are happy. Sometimes our devotees tendency of jumping to the highest conclusions, but neglecting everything between. We may say, God is a person and you're not this body. But have we actually realized it? Basic morality. Sometimes we find in this movement, there's not even basic morality. Sometimes people aren't even honest. They're not even truthful with each other, or to speak of anyone else. And sometimes we think that we don't have to worry about basic morality because we are on the highest platform. We are transcendental. But the problem is we're not transcendental. Prabhupada gave us the four regulative principles. Prabhupada said, you can understand who my devotee is because they are perfect ladies and gentlemen. That means not only do we have the highest philosophy, but we have to practice everything between us. We should learn to be very honest. We should be very ethical. In such a way that the whole world will look up to us as far as morality. And as far as personal, it's because of our impersonal conditioning throughout our life that we still deal with each other in an impersonal way. It's not because of Krishna consciousness. It's because of our own backgrounds. We've been brought up in such an impersonal society, and we're carrying that baggage with us when we come to Krishna consciousness. But it's very, very important to understand that this is a great, great impediment for spiritual progress. Krishna is a person, and we can only serve him through the devotees, and every devotee is a person. And we have to develop very, very personal relationships. But unfortunately, in this material world, so many personal relationships has brought us so much pain and sorrow that we're actually afraid to be personal with people. Sometimes within our own families, amongst our friends, we reveal our minds to someone, and then they tell everyone. Sometimes we put our trust in someone, then they completely disappoint us. In this material world, generally, the more personal you become with people, the more you have to suffer. Because friendship in this world is based on exploitation. It's not based on selfless service. So we become very dear to someone, but if we can no longer be properly exploited by them, then they reject us, or they betray us. So, in this way, people are afraid of personal relationships. People are afraid to actually open their hearts to another. People may physically appear very close friends, but as far as opening their hearts and trusting each other, very rare. So we've been brought up in that way. And even amongst devotees, because of that condition, it's very difficult. So the most important thing is that each devotee should really concentrate on being a good friend, being a trusting friend, being an honorable friend, so that people are not afraid of us. People can trust us. Even over the years, devotees have put faith in someone, and then a person has betrayed their faith. So it makes things very, very difficult. But it is very essential that we develop very personal relationships on the basis of serving Krishna together. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read all the various glories of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, it only discusses one thing. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's only one discussion in it all. The loving relationships amongst the devotees. That's all. That is the singular topic the love amongst the devotees and the love of the Lord and the devotees. Is there any other subject matter? That is our culture. That is our tradition. That is our spiritual path. And if we do not have that, we are not properly following the path. We will not get the proper result. So I think what's important is there has to be great emphasis on developing loving friendships amongst devotees. But that means each devotee has to feel responsible for being a proper servant and a proper trusting friend. Rupa Goswami says you should be able to reveal your mind in confidence to a friend in Krishna consciousness. But if you're not confidential, if someone says, this is my problem, I'm having so much difficulty, and then you put it on the internet, then that person is never going to be able to say another thing to you except, you know, Hari Bol Prabhu. Or, can you bring me some prasad? Or, would you like prasad? There will be no depth to our relationship unless there's confidentiality. Unless there's sensitivity and concern to what I have to do to be a proper friend of this person and help that person in spiritual life. It's very important. And there should be tremendous emphasis on what is Vaishnava relationships and the necessity of Vaishnava relationships. We put so much emphasis on so many other things, which are all very important. Building temples, distributing books, these are all very important. But unless we put maximum emphasis at this particular time in our history on Vaishnava relationships, we're actually going to be decreasing the future of all these other projects. Because if devotees are happy and strong in Krishna consciousness, as a team we can distribute more books and build more temples than ever before. But if we're doing all these things, but we don't have time to concern ourselves with each other, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to feel fulfilled. We're not going to feel the personal reciprocation of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And gradually, we're not going to want to do our service anymore. So developing loving, trusting relationships amongst devotees is, I believe, the most essential necessity in our society. Really struggle and work to build those relationships. Because if we have those relationships, no one will leave the Hare Krishna movement. People only leave because they're not satisfied. People do not leave because there's something better. They don't leave because there's a higher philosophy. That's nonsense. Nobody leaves because of that. There is no higher philosophy than what Prabhupada has given. And what ISKCON has given. There is no higher philosophy. There is no higher culture. It's everything. It's the best. Why do people leave? Because even though they have everything, they're not happy. They don't feel cared for. They don't feel loved. They don't feel they can trust or that they're being trusted. And therefore, if you're not happy, you're going to look for alternatives. And people are going to so many alternatives. But if we have an intimate family of Vaishnavas, where we really care about each other on every level, no one will leave this movement. Why would they want to leave this movement? To say anything.
Since the weight of the lecture is very much on this loving and caring relationships, I want to put a question to you. I have seen in my years of preaching here and in other areas, I have very often met devotees who were in the position of caring and really as temple presidents, as preachers, and so on, and who, after having done this for four, 5, sometimes 10 years, say to me, Maharaj, we tried so much to care for these devotees. We gave our time, we gave our energy, we gave our life, we gave our everything. But we feel the care which we give is not received properly. We feel that we are bleeding gallons of blood, but there is no gratefulness amongst the devotees. We feel we are screaming against a blizzard. Our voice is not heard. The impersonalism, the dissatisfaction, the everything is so deep that even if you try to care, and you do, it doesn't work. Several devotees in leading position have said this, and therefore, like wounded wolves, they are going and living a little bit in the isolation. What to say to these devotees, or how to address this? I'm sure you might have also heard it. I'm sure you, in your own caring way, might also sometimes have felt, ooh, I'm trying, I'm giving my best, but will it work? I'm sorry to play the devil's advocate, but this is what I hear, and I think it is helpful for the discussion to hear your solution.
You know better than me. Trying to be a servant is a great sacrifice. And sometimes it's very, very difficult. Because sometimes we really try to help someone and they turn against us. And every way we try to help them, they use it against us. And that's very painful, very difficult. Therefore, we should understand that it's actually one of the greatest sacrifices that are pleasing to the Lord. And if it's our price of actually becoming dear to Krishna. And it may be a high price, but it has to be done. If we could bleed every drop of our blood until we're dead to try to serve devotees, we'll go back to Godhead. People may say, I've given so much of my blood to try to serve devotees. We should give all our blood to try to serve the devotees. Otherwise, there's no use in having blood. If we have this consciousness, then Krishna will empower us. If we're conditional in the way we're trying to serve, then we won't really be empowered to serve. The type of mentality that you're giving, I sympathize with, but it's a very conditional mentality. I'm not enjoying pleasure by serving these devotees, so why should I continue serving? The fact is, if you honestly and earnestly, sincerely try to make that sacrifice, even after going through disappointments, Krishna can empower you to do wonderful things. He can empower everyone to do wonderful things. Of course, he's already empowering you. I'm speaking of you, meaning everyone. And we should actually try to be a real servant. That means an unconditional servant to the Vaishnavas. And another thing that's very important is in our preaching and in our management, we should actually be making so many policies and so many schemes and so many structures to encourage devotees to actually become more personal and develop greater relationships with each other. It can't all just come down from the top, that we're serving everybody, but everybody's fighting. We should actually develop what I believe, in my opinion, we should develop programs by which devotees help each other. If we develop programs in which devotees help each other, gradually and naturally they'll become more trusting and more personal with each other because the format is in them. To just try to convince devotees to be very personal and trusting to each other and serve each other, it's almost ethereal. Do I make sense? Ethereal means, you know, you're telling us to do it, do it, do it, but what do we do? I've been competing with this person. I don't trust this person. I don't know what this person's doing. This person doesn't like me. We have all these relationships already that are not very good. So how am I supposed to deal with these people? But as preachers, as managers, if we can actually develop programs in which devotees are centering their attention on helping each other, then within that program, devotees will actually be able to develop and grow in personal relationships. And I think that's very, very important and essential. And if as leaders we try to develop such programs and create that type of emphasis in our management and in our preaching, we can do wonders. Because actually every devotee that comes to this movement is a great soul. Maybe scars in our hearts and maybe fears, but essentially anyone who comes to Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada's movement is a very great soul. Men, women, and children. And we have to understand if they're just put in the right atmosphere, they will flourish. And if they're put in an atmosphere where that's not encouraged, then they will become stifled. So I don't think we should give up and think it's not possible. I've tried and I failed. I can't do it anymore. We just have to come together and try to utilize our good intelligence to create a format, create programs, create an atmosphere, and give devotees the benefit of the doubt that they're great souls and they'll be happy if they do it. And it's true. Because actually, even if you go into the most trouble-ridden places in the world, if you just show you care about somebody, they become so encouraged and their Krishna consciousness awakens. We just have to show devotees we care about each other. And we have to teach devotees to show that they care about each other. By our example and by our words. And it will definitely 100% have a tremendous effect locally, nationally, internationally. Answer your question. Actually, or you're just trying to.
So when I tend to say, does my answer satisfy your question? Yes, I said, because I feel if this loving relationships amongst each other is somehow encouraged, or that was what you said, structures and systems and methods so that the devotees learn to come together and help each other together, then I think the most important step of a culture has been done, which is at the present moment sadly missing because we have still the remnants of the Western cultures and ethical understanding with us and no replacement of the Vedic culture really. We have only good food. I mean, from that culture.
The programs we're just talking about is cultural programs. Not cultural programs doesn't mean Bharatanatyam dancing or drama. Those things are nice, but programs to actually develop the inner culture of Vaishnava etiquette and Vaishnava relationships. These things are desperately required. How to actually respect, honor, and serve each other. Chaitanya says that being the servant of the servant of the servant is the ultimate benediction. If we don't learn how to serve Vaishnavas in a way that makes Vaishnavas happy, to serve someone means to make them happy. It doesn't mean just to do it in an official, formal way. It means to actually do it in a way that pleases the devotee and makes them happy. If I give you prasad, like, here, prasad, that's not real service. But if I say, ah, Prabhu, please, please, I beg you, we're so happy you've come, please take this prasad and enjoy it, please. And the person says, oh, this is very nice. Then you have done some service. To serve, if you consider every devotee as your Prabhu, Prabhupada said, every devotee is Prabhu and only I am Das. But the Western culture is every person is Das and I am Prabhu. That's the difference between Vaishnav culture and Western culture. Western culture is, you are all Das and I am Prabhu, and I will prove it. And Vaishnav culture is, you are all Prabhus, you are all my masters, and I am the servant. And we have to understand that. And what does it mean to serve a master? It means to please the master. It means to make the master happy. It means to do it with your heart and touch that person's heart. That's what service means. And we have seen His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj, how He serves all of you. He's touched your hearts. He's pleased you. He's given you pleasure. You want to take Krishna from Him, because He cares so much about you. Because He wants to make you so happy in Krishna consciousness, you want to do anything for Him. That's the way we should all be serving, following in the footsteps of such a personality. We should serve each other by trying to give pleasure, encouragement, by trying to make a devotee happy by how we're dealing with that person. And if we're all doing like that to each other, we are living in Vaikuntha. Yes.
The quality is that we have seen how mother is so thinking of herself. But then, okay, what kind of thing is that? Just in his mind.
Yes, I am always in my heart taking the dust of the lotus feet of Matajis, who are in such a mood of selfless service. You should follow your Guru Maharaj. Also very important that the leaders of the movement develop such loving relationships with each other. And when younger devotees see leaders have such intimate, loving, Krishna-conscious relationships with each other, then they will actually be inspired to develop those relationships amongst themselves. If leaders are impersonal and cold toward each other, then it creates a sense of hopelessness in the newer devotees. So this is very important for the leaders to understand. But at the same time, you have such a leader who's such a wonderful, loving Vaishnava. And I think all the leaders here are such a loving leader. Follow in the footsteps of these great souls. Take inspiration from their example. We should not look for justifications why not to follow the proper behavior of a Vaishnava. We can find so many excuses why we cannot. That is not a sign of sincerity. sign of sincerity is we're looking for every excuse why we can. And we should do it. Individually and collectively. We can say that there's so many problems and so many difficulties, therefore I can't behave like a Vaishnava. But actually you can, and everyone can. It's Kali Yuga, there may be circumstances that make it difficult. But it's in the scriptures. There are devotees who do exemplify that. There are devotees who want that, but they just don't know how to do it. And it is the way we'll make spiritual advancement and please Krishna. So therefore we could do it and we should do it. Two ways of looking. You can see that a glass is half full of water, or we could see a glass is half empty of water. If it's half empty, we say, oh, look at that glass, it's half empty. Or we could say, oh, half full. It's the same glass. So the same circumstance. We can be looking for all the excuses and all the reasons why it's impossible to follow the regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, and be a good devotee. Because so many people haven't done it. Or we could be looking at the people who have done it. If you're sincere, you'll be looking to the people who will inspire you, for example. And if you're insincere, you'll be looking for the people who have had momentary failures and will say, if this person can't do it, how could I do it? Therefore I won't do it. Or we'll say, oh, no matter how many people didn't, this person's doing it, therefore I will do it. So this is really the expression of our sincerity that Krishna will see. Should we end here? Is it becoming late? That means your polite way of saying it's late. Satchinanda Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hari Bol. Thank you very much.